This episode of Pondering Nerdcast was brought to you by GamingRebellion.com. Join the community today at GamingRebellion.com, where it's more than just games.
Hey guys, what's up? And welcome to the Pondering Nerdcast. This is episode 67, and here with me tonight is Alyssa Spector.
Hey guys!
And Nate Rowe.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
Dwayne left us for a woman. So, you know, that hurts. No, I'm playing. No, Dwayne is out having a good time with peoples. Yeah, so sorry for missing the last few weeks of the show. We've been, you know, we all have lives. We're real people and we do things.
You guys are people? Yes. I'm just a voice on the internet.
You're just like, it's an AI we wrote that Nate is just an AI, and you know,
it's
sometimes
just a grumpy AI that hates random things that everybody else loves.
It was like, just throw that in there, and it's like, yes, this is perfect. I like it. But anyway, guys, let's get started, shall we? Let's jump right in into some tech news here. So this tech news is a bit of the prison variety. Where
we're gonna get a little Shawshank on you early,
you know. So, this is the headline: Ohio inmates use salvage computer to commit credit card fraud from jail. Yes, you heard that right. Some inmates was like savvy enough to like put together a computer and decided that we're gonna get online and we're gonna commit more crimes while in prison. Yay! It's like, so I should add that, you know, it's like, well, how did they get these damn pieces of, like, you know, how did this happen? So it turns out this particular prison they're in have some program that teaches inmates how to break down computers in order to learn computer maintenance, like basic skills and stuff like that, and like how to recycle obsolete parts and stuff, which is pretty cool, a bit advanced. And it seems like two people took that to heart and decided to create two computers and hide them. I shit you not, hide them in the roof of their prison. It doesn't exactly say where, does it? Does it say where exactly? I'm not sure, but doesn't really say where. I would assume it would be in a library, since that would probably be the only place with like internet access and stuff like that. And according to like their investigation, that these guys were able to transport all the components separately through their institution, that they said it was, they covered over a distance of 1,100 feet without being checked by security ever.
So, I mean, I've heard of people smuggling drugs in prison up their ass, but I have never heard of somebody smuggling gigs of RAM up their ass. Like, I've never
that's gotta be
heard
painful.
That ever.
And,
but what do they expect in the day and age that we live in to think that there are no sophisticated people
criminals
going to prison? Yeah, yeah, who go to prison, yeah, who know this stuff. Dude, there's plenty of those people who go to prison and know this stuff. And to think that they wouldn't use that to their advantage in prison when they got nothing else to do in fucking prison is retarded. I mean, I'm happy that they, I think the program in itself of trying to teach inmates stuff like that, give them a skill, that's a good thing to do, because that's, computers are, I mean, let's face it, computers are you know, the future. They have been the future for the past 30 years, you know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, if you're going to teach them a skill that's viable as opposed to just having them press license plates, then awesome. But you have to think that this is going to happen if you don't, if you're not watching every last move that's being made with these computers, you know what I mean? So yeah, whatever, man. I mean, good job, but you know, good job for them trying to teach these inmates. But at the same time, like, pfft, you're surprised by this, that they used it to break the law. You know what I mean? Like, not you guys, just people in general, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, it was like, and the way the authorities found this out, apparently they discovered credentials were like used on days when employees weren't scheduled. So I should say that they used the computer to like like create fake passes, like security passes within the prison, so they can get access to restricted areas, so they have the run of the place. So these guys were just going to town, man. Like, they did tax fraud, they did credit card fraud. According to some of the analysis here, they say that they found drug manufacturing, explosive, carding. I'm not sure what carding is. I guess that's the security pass thing. And they were like, oh, unsurprisingly, authorities also discovered a variable amount, a mountain of smut. I'm like, well, yeah, they're in jail.
Yeah, no shit. You didn't think that thing was going to be loaded with porn? You're a fucking retard.
I mean, come on, guys.
Wait, like, how are they able to, like, use the computer without, you know, being noticed? Like, did it have a monitor? Did it, you know?
I would guess it doesn't really quite say. They just show a picture of, like, where the wires would run. It looks like what they did was just put the computers in the top there, like, maybe ran some wires down the wall that doesn't look too inconspicuous and, like, connected to one of the monitors, which I'm guessing is still in the library where, and then, you know, they probably sat there and instead of working on the computers provided in the library, the monitor was just connected to that computer and, like, they just did everything from there.
And we don't know this. This is totally unconfirmed, but there could have been a situation where it was like a couple of the inmates were what they call trustees or people that were allowed a little more freedoms to begin with. And maybe they had a guard that was a friend and they were like, hey, man, would you really mind if we just did a little side project, man? And the guard might have been like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, just don't let anybody know. And he might not have thought anything of it, thought it was just going to be a little thing for them to do. And then, boom, they're fucking committing computer fraud with the shit. So,
yeah, I do hope that the program is still alive, because I think it's like Nate said, it's an important skill to have, especially coming back into this society that we have now, which is more or less computer driven. So, you know, I hope it didn't ruin it. I'm sure it's going to be tighter security on how all that is put together now. But at the same time, yeah, it was kind of like a bit, according to the article, this happened back in 2015 and the details are just being, you know, just made public like this year. So now they're trying to, they said that it was 5 people involved and all those people have been like moved to different prisons. So they can't, you know, as if they couldn't, you know, recruit another 5 people into the prison to do the same thing if they had the same program. But yeah, I mean, this is crazy. And, doing this sort of thing too, it can carry even heftier jail time for them. Okay, they're doing a lot of, like, you know, computer fraud is big time jail time now. It's like maybe 20 years you get for that sort of thing. So it doesn't say how many more years they got or what happened to them besides being moved around, but, you know, there it is, guys. You too. If you're listening to this in prison, don't get any ideas. So,
you're listening to this in prison, stay strong, man. Keep your head up.
Yeah. Yes.
Legalize it.
Keep your nose clean and come out, and then you can do, you know, I guess, whatever. Find ways to, you know, I'm not even going to go into that. But anyway, moving on to our some military tech here. So if you've been watching the news, you know, of that guy, you know, Orange Cheeto or whatever you want to call him, the U.S. military decided to drop what is known as the largest non-nuclear. So there's no, it's not a dirty bomb or whatever on targets. They assume to be, ISIS targets in Afghanistan, today. This is the Moab. See? Moab. There's no H.
There's no H
in it.
But yeah, the Moab. It's basically, we've known about this bomb. We have tests, like the footage that the media keeps showing right now is test footage from back in 2003. So it's not like we didn't know that this thing existed, but this is the first time that it's ever been put into play. This is the first time it's ever been actually used against enemy forces in a military strike. And like I said, I kind of said this before the show, and this is just my standpoint on it, man. I really think that, like, we're just seeing this shit because Trump was like, what can we drop on? What's the biggest shit we can drop on him that's not a nuke? That? Mm. Yeah, drop that shit. But, sir, we've never dropped one of those ever. Yeah, well, fuck it. There's a new man in town. Drop that shit. I'm telling you, just drop it. And yeah, it's just retarded, man. Like, we're seeing, and we don't, on here on Pondering Nerds, we don't talk about politics very often, and we don't talk about military strategies and stuff like that. But, I mean, just look at what's going on these days. Like, we got an aircraft carrier and three warships headed to North Korea. We got, you know, bombs being dropped in Afghanistan and, you know, Syria. So it's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, mm-hmm. Trump's been in office a grand total of, like, 3 months, and we are bombing the shit out of it. We're starting shit on both sides. You know what I mean? Like, both sides of Europe. We are Eastern, you know, the Asian continent. Like, we're starting shit everywhere. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't get it. It's like, ugh. Anyway, like I said, this is why we don't talk about politics on Pondering Nerds, because it's just retarded. Just retarded.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, other than, like, the decision to do this, you know, I'm sure we can all come up with, like, speculations as to why they did this. But, you know, this particular bomb, you know, which you mentioned, like, some of the specs about it, it's like 30 feet long, you know, 2,100 pounds, like over 2,100 pounds. And it's a GPS guided munitions, but, you know, and
GPS guided my ass, dude. They fucking pushed the bitch out of the back of a cargo plane. Like, this thing is so big, people, that they do not have a way to like technologically it. Deploy it. Like, yeah, the only way they can deploy this thing is to load it in the back of a cargo plane and then push the fucker out. Like, literally just push it out. I don't know if they have a group of dudes doing this. I would assume that it's like a fucking, there's some sort of bulldozer or something behind it that just pushes it.
It would have to be, yeah, like a
pulley system. Yeah, it would have to be something like that, because, you know, a bunch of dudes are not going to be able to push this thing. I mean, now, granted, the plane can help a lot in itself. Like, the plane can fucking take a small incline, and which will give it a nice little angle to roll out the back. And it's very possible that they don't need anything. It'll just roll out the back once they release the harnesses and shit, you know. But still, like, that's how big this thing is, people. They cannot, like, shoot it. You have to just drop it. So GPS guided my ass. Like, these things are just dropped, and it's like, well, the GPS in the plane tells us we're right over where we're supposed to be, so launch that fucker out the back. And it's like, man, when I was watching the test footage of this thing being dropped, I'm watching this, just my heart kind of pounding. Could you imagine if you saw that coming at you? You know what I mean? Like, you have now less than 30 seconds before your life's about to end, because you see this fucking giant missile falling at you. What the fuck, dude? Like, that is a scary thought. That is a super duper scary thought. I even said it before the podcast. I mean, we don't have to live in the fear that some people in the world have to live in. We don't have the fear of drones flying above us right now with missiles ready to strike any of us and then claim, oh, well, we thought that Nate Rowe was a terrorist. Yeah, right. We didn't like his podcast much, man.
Talk bad about
a foul guy. We didn't like him, but, you know, it was an accident. We didn't mean to kill him, you know. But, yeah, no, it's just, it's fucked up, man. It's fucked up.
Yeah, and could you imagine if they did have a way to, like, fire this long distance? Because it, God. Yeah, it's a, if you want to see this for yourself, there's, like, test footage from, like, 2003 on CNN. We'll also post the link and everything. But military technology is something to be desired, I guess. You know,
dude, imagine what we don't know about.
Listen,
like, imagine, I was scared. I guarantee you, like, nobody knew about the nuke back in the 40s until it happened. Like,
right.
Nobody knew about the nuke testings and shit until after the fact. And then it just kind of happened one day. And, yeah, I had an interesting discussion with my buddy the other day. I was like, what happens when you meet that nation that they're just not going to give up? Like, Say Japan. What if we had nuked Japan twice, and then Japan said, "Nope, we're not stopping, dude. You're either gonna blow a hole in the ozone trying to kill us all, or we're gonna fight this out without nukes." You know what I mean? And if you had that strong-willed of a people, you know what I mean? That it's like, fuck you, dude. I mean, we would just be going forever, or we would destroy the Earth in the process. It's one of the two, you know? I mean, there are enough nukes in the world right now that we could destroy the world several times over if we wanted to. And that's a scary enough thought as it is.
It's scary, sad. Like, I got scared when I saw the Navy testing their railgun. And that thing apparently can launch a projectile 100 miles away and pinpoint accuracy from a ship. So just imagine that.
It's retarded. Dude, like I've said before, this is my best example. We have guns for our guns on our aircraft. We have guns that are attached to our guns that are supposed to be able to outgun the other guns. Like, seriously, I'm not making this shit up. You can go look it up.
I don't know what they're called.
Just... Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but yeah, it's fucking retarded. Like, when we took military to the whole another level as Americans, and like I said, this is just shit that we've seen. Like, I guarantee you there's some top secret decret shit that nobody knows about except high level motherfuckers, and it's like, no, we can't never drop that. We can't never do that.
Yeah, let's hold off on that one. Maybe when the aliens come. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? When Independence Day really happens, we got a solution for them fuckers. Yeah.
Like, we got this right here. I'm pretty sure somebody's preparing. But yeah, this is what America is doing. This is what we're doing. Well, I guess we'll see where this goes, and God, it's just messy, all messy. But I'm just gonna move on to something else because it's kind of bumming me out. So let's move on to some film news real quick. So it's been announced the Deadpool movie 2. You know, it is coming out. It's happening. Yay! You know, if you've seen the latest Logan movie, you will see like a pre-stinger to the Deadpool movie, whatever. But as if you've seen Logan, you've seen a small part of Deadpool 2 in there, and Josh Brolin has been cast as Cable for Deadpool 2. Yes, the same Josh Brolin who's playing Thanos. So I'm now, here's why this is a bit weird, because now, Thanos, the person he's playing, is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, whereas Cable is going to be not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even though they're all Marvel characters. So, yay? What do you guys think?
I don't see him as any more important than Colossus. I really don't. Like, it's not... I think that's why he's able to take this role, because... If he had played Colossus, for instance, nobody would have gave a shit, really. Like, Colossus didn't have as like a big enough role in Deadpool 1. He was there, obviously, and he was there in the final fight and shit, and that's cool. But, the movie wasn't about Colossus, and he probably overall spent less than 10 minutes on actual camera. And I would assume that Cable's going to be the same way. This isn't a Cable movie. This is Deadpool 2, and, you know...
I think Cable is more of a big deal than, you know, Colossus, you know, when it comes to Deadpool, because I'm pretty sure...
I think they have, like, some sort of weird friendship or something.
I mean, the comics are called Cable. There's a bunch of comics called Cable and Deadpool. So.
Oh, okay. So they have, like, whole stories together and all that.
Yeah, they're both created by, you know, Rob Liefeld. They're both part of, they actually have their own team of, you know, separated from, you know, X-Men. They're called X-Force, which is, you know, it's made up of...
Yeah, I remember X-Force back in the day. Wasn't Bishop a part of X-Force?
Actually, I don't know if Deadpool's an X-Force. I don't have my comic.
No, I remember. I don't think Deadpool was. I do remember Cable being a part of X-Force or being the leader of X-Force, like, and I don't remember how Deadpool fit into that at all. But I do very much remember that Cable was the leader of some rogue group of mutants.
I actually think Cable was created first before Deadpool. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar. As you can see, we are running into our limit of comic book knowledge.
I don't really know what Cable did or what his superpowers were. See, this is why, like, I like that. I like not knowing. Especially in this day and age when superhero movies are just so oversaturated, man. I'm so fucking tired of superhero movies, really, man. Like, at this point, it's like, oh, just can we get a couple years of no superhero movie and then the next one will be meaningful? But, like, we get, like, at least two or three superhero movies a year now, and it's just gotten so, I mean, it started 5-6 years ago, so now at this point it's like, God, I'm so sick and tired of it, man. But when they do stuff like Guardians of the Galaxy, or they do it about characters, I think Marvel is doing a good job in changing shit up and keeping people interested and keeping people wanting to come back.
Introducing new characters that we don't know much about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Guardians, like, I knew nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy. Had never fucking heard of them. Like, did not know anything about them, and then watched it and was like, fuck yeah, this is an awesome movie, right? And so, yeah, I mean, like, it would be nice for them to play into, you know, characters that you don't know much about. I don't know much about Cable. I don't know what his superpowers are. I know it has something to do with electricity, but I have no idea.
He actually has telepathic powers, too, because, funny enough, he's actually the son. His name his actual name is Christopher Summers. And so his father is actually Scott Summers, a.k.a. Cyclops. Wow.
Interesting.
And his mom
is his dad?
Yeah.
I always saw Cable as like this old guy with gray hair and
I haven't read much of, you know, I don't know too much about Cable either. I don't know too much about him, but apparently his mom is a clone of Jean Grey, so he's kind of like the son of Cyclops and Jean Grey, but not Jean Grey. Jean Grey had a clone named Madeline.
And Cyclops was so hard up for Jean Grey. He had sex with the clone.
I don't know the whole story. I'm sure.
So
fans out there want to clarify.
So, through the power of the internet, I found his, bio on Marvel's website. So, Nathan Christopher Charles Summers. That's his full name. He's 6'8", Jesus Christ. He's up 350 pounds. And apparently he possesses vast psychic power, most often manifested in the form of telepathy and telekinesis. Okay.
Yes, I was right.
And then everything else is like, oh, okay, so wait, my bad. So apparently Cable is he's a highly accomplished warrior and battle strategist, highly adept in many forms of hand-to-hand combat and in the use of a variety of weaponry from both the 20th and 40th centuries. Wow. Okay, so I guess he's from the future. Cable also holds a diploma in law. He's a lawyer.
Makes no sense.
He hangs out with
Daredevil
or something.
Yeah, while he's kicking your ass, he's serving you a subpoena.
I'll tell you 7 different reasons why what you're doing is illegal while I'm kicking your ass.
Yeah,
but yeah, every time I've seen pictures of Cable, I just see him as, like, you know, he was created by Rob Liefeld, and if you've seen Rob Liefeld's, you know, art. I'm not dissing the guy, but he's known for just drawing, like, these overly, like, exaggerated,
muscular,
buff dudes, and, like, the way he draws Cable is just, like... I mean,
he's 6'8", so...
Like, he has so many muscles, like, he's made with so many muscles that you can't even see the shape of his body anymore. It kind of just looks like a big jack cylinder.
It's like, I'm walking muscular. Apparently the groups, he first appeared back in 1986. In New Mutants number 80, and Uncanny X-Men 201, that series. But he appeared there as Nathan Summers. But I'm checking IMDb, and that's the one that Nathan Summers. And apparently he was part of X-Force, X-Men, Secret Avengers, Underground? I don't know what that is. The 12, New Mutants, Six-Pack, Clan. Well, you know what? The man gets around, apparently. So, yeah.
So basically, I think X-Force is basically is just the new name of the New Mutants, which I don't know why. What makes them separate from the X-Men? But
that's a question for like a comic book fan that will probably tell you like a whole history as to why that happened. I'm in a few geek groups that like I check out of those conversations real quick because they talk about that shit like it's like U.S. history. It's like, you know, and I not to diss anybody who likes to do that. That's fine. It's just that it's a lot to take in. But I'm glad they're bringing Cable to, you know, to the big screen. So, you know, for those of us who don't know him that well, we'll get to know him. So I guess he's going to play a really big role in Deadpool, too. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I have this, okay, and this is totally not about Cable. This is going back to Thor Ragnarok. But, mm-hmm. like, I just had the thought in my head of how they were going to try to get the Guardians of the Galaxy people in there. And I could see the very last shot of the movie. It's like after shit's done and, you know, Thor's gotten out of whatever he's in. You know, it's like somebody's going to tell him, like, you know, we've arranged transport back to so-and-so. And, like, all of a sudden, like, the doors are going to open and then, like, they're going to do a feet shot up of, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy standing behind the door. And it's like, somebody need a ride? And then it's going to go to black screen. Like, like that's how it's going to end. Like, I can almost feel it in my bones. Like, that's going to... Something like that's going to happen. I'm calling it right here, right now.
I can see that. Yeah,
April 13th, 2017 on Pondering Nerdcast. I'm calling it. That's how it is.
I can definitely see that. And speaking of Thor Ragnarok, guys, did you guys see the trailer? Because that's how you make a fucking trailer. You know why? Because it doesn't give away the damn story. It gives you little hits and pieces. You get a little tease here and there. You see some awesome action, some big set pieces, and fucking Hulk shows up. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Are you not excited?
I'm excited, but again, it could be either really, really good or it could be really, really bad since we don't know what's going on.
We don't really know what's going on here.
It looks good, though. Like, from
what happened
with
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, how they did the trailer, though, that's, I'll back Lance up. That's how you do a trailer. That's how you get people excited for shit. You know, the music, the way the trailer progresses, it was a very well done trailer. I'm kind of excited for it. Like, I wasn't a fan of the first couple Thor movies. Like, I thought they were kind of dumb.
Same here. I didn't like them either.
This one looks a little bit cooler because, like I kind of said before the show, we're going to get to see Asgard, or at least the director's visual interpretation of Asgard, which will be really cool. We'll get to see, you know, in the trailer, it shows a lot of people that can only look Guardian of the Galaxy-esque, I guess you could say. They like have this tone about them that like are the face paintings and on the chick who's, I guess, a bounty hunter, or the face paintings on Jeff Goldblum.
I just find it funny that Jeff Goldblum is in this movie.
Yeah, he's it's probably going to be a role that we think is funny, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's his voice. That's who's introducing like them in the arena when they're.
Yeah,
when,
I believe
like,
so. Yeah.
I think that's his voice. And yeah, obviously that's the funniest part of the trailer. You know, he's like, we're friends from work.
So. The armor that Hulk wears is reminiscent of Planet Hulk. If you've ever read that book or seen the crappy animated movie that Marvel put out a couple years ago, the book is 10 times better. It's reminiscent of that, like where there's like a whole story where like quote unquote the Illuminati, which is made up of Iron Man, Stretchy Boy from Fantastic Four, I forgot his name. Like, a few of the brilliant... Yeah, I call him Stretchy Boy. That's how bad the Fantastic Four is, like, now in my mind. It's like, ugh, whatever.
It's like the non-visible chick.
Yeah, non-visible fire guy. Rock thing. So... They all got together and decided to tell Hulk, hey, Hulk, you're the only one that can defuse this bomb. We're going to send you into space. And then it was like, nope, sorry, kick you into a wormhole. Bye, bitch. So to get him off of Earth. And he ends up in this planet, which later becomes called Planet Hulk, because everybody's there is just as big as him or as strong as him. And he can never, like, reverts back to human form. So, I don't know, that the armor he has on is very reminiscent of that, and I don't know if they're going to touch on that, so I think that would be kind of cool, but I don't know if they're ready, if people are ready for that either, because that story is kind of fucked up, and
the way it ends is like... There's got to be something in the armor that's mind-controlling Hulk, or pissing, or like, continually zapping him or something to just keep him mad and unfocused, and... You know, because the Hulk knows who Thor is. Like, the Hulk knows him even in Hulk form. Like, we saw that in the very first Avengers movie where the Hulk, you know, like, punches Thor, and it was kind of a little funny moment.
Right.
But, yeah, like, oh, you know, yeah.
And they like to fight each other all the time, so.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a battle where I'm sure, you know, they're both are going to get tossed into a couple walls, and both are going to get fucking beat up, and Thor is going to figure out how to disable the Hulk's, whatever's making the Hulk, you know what I mean? You know.
But anyway. Like Eureka!
Yeah, he'll figure out something to stop pissing the Hulk off, and the Hulk will realize that it's him anyway.
And I'm surprised they're dealing with the whole Mjolnir destruction, and you know how he lost the hammer and all this stuff. So I thought that was interesting, what they're doing there.
Also, why they didn't touch on it in the movie or in the trailer? I'm assuming this has got to be during one of the times where Odin's in his great sleep. If Odin was kicking it, I mean, how is all this shit going down in Asgard, right?
That would never happen.
Captured and all this shit. So yeah, like we see Loki as well. So something tells me this is the plot where Loki and Lady Death and a couple other people that were involved are trying to take over Asgard while Odin's in his like Odin sleep or Odin slumber or whatever it's called, and. Yeah, like, that has to be what's going down, because if Odin was around, none of this would be going down, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no, this shit would be squashed, like, immediately.
Yeah, well, Odin's all-powerful, he's all, yeah.
Right, there's a little-known, unknown book about Thor, I think it's called Old Man Thor or something like that, but it's like, apparently, Asgardians, as they age, they get way more powerful. So the older they get, they don't slow down at all. They just become infinitely powerful.
Since they are gods, I always wondered, like, wait, how long do they live for?
Almost forever. Almost. I mean,
see them as children. We saw Loki when he was a baby, so...
Right,
I'm assuming they were born.
Well, yeah, but then again, years passed between them being a baby and... them growing up.
Like, you can argue about mythology in general. Like, okay, some were born, and but they just ended up living forever. I don't know.
No, I hear what you're saying, but that's something I learned from like a buddy of mine. I didn't even know that Asgardians as they get older get stronger. So I guess that explains why everybody keeps coming for Thor. So it's like, maybe. Especially you're the son of a god, well, there you go. So, like, direct lineage of a god. So yeah, that definitely does put the target on your back. But I can't wait for this movie to come out, man. This is gonna be so much fun. It comes out in October of this year.
This looks good. I mean, I thought the second one was okay. I thought the first one was better, but this one looks fun. So.
I just didn't like any of them. Like, I watched them both. It was just like, okay, Thor 1, the first one was just kind of like, it felt too short. And I understand it was an introduction to the character, and I get what they were trying to do, but it felt small. like, Thor is such a huge personality, and it just kind of felt a little, like, miniature. Like, oh, let's put him in a small town and have to help people and stuff. And
well, because that's kind of, well, his backstory was actually, like, from the comics, when he was sent to Earth, he didn't know he was Thor. Like, I think his backstory was, like, his father sent him to Earth, but he didn't remember who he was, or he was reincarnated as a human. And he actually had a name. I forgot his name on Earth. Like Dennis or something.
Yeah, pretty much. Dennis. I think so.
Probably not Dennis. No,
he was like a Dennis.
Yeah, he was like a doctor or something. Yeah, like
he was like weird. A Chad or a Devin.
Or a oh, not Dennis. Donald. His name was Donald Blake.
Oh, Donald. It's like the worst name to have these days.
Oh, but I like Donald Duck.
Yeah. Only redeeming Donald ever.
Right. No, so
Ronald McDonald.
So. His backstory from the comics when he was first published was, you know, Odin sent Thor to Earth. I guess he put his memories into the body of, like, an already existing human named Donald Blake.
Yeah.
And then, I guess once, you know, when Donald Blake went on, went somewhere Excursion. And he found Thor's hammer, and then he turned into Thor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I you're telling me, because I don't know much about his past, really. Because I'm like, okay, that's cool, that's interesting. I kind of would have preferred that then. I kind of would like that whole journey of discovery to know that something isn't quite right with you. I probably would enjoy that better.
I think I think he knew already who he was. Because it said they put his memories into an already existing person. So it was like a different body. Like they put his memories into a guy who already existed, but right. I guess he was, you know, disabled, and you know, he became a doctor, and then. I guess he became Thor again once he found his hammer. I don't know.
Thor was a doctor. Cable was a lawyer. Next, we're going to find out, like, you know, fucking Superman actually learned to fly by being a pilot for U.S. Airlines, like, previously.
He's a journalist.
Well, he's a
journalist. He's
it was the first thing I thought of off the top of my head.
All these superheroes have day jobs.
Well, but you notice they're all day jobs that back in the 50s, that's what everybody, like, that's what the perfect man was supposed to be. Like,
that's true.
Like, the young ladies were all supposed to look for the lawyer or the doctor or the fucking
professor. That would be funnier. That would be fun if we had a superhero that was an accountant.
Oh my god.
Well, that's why Deadpool's kind of like the anti-superhero, because he wasn't. Like, he was just this I loved how they did that in the Deadpool movie, man. They just brought him across as this guy that, like, he had morals per se, but for the most part, he was just this fucking thug, dude. He was a thug. He was a fucking average thug. And, it was, you know. Like, I don't think everybody has to have some elaborate, like, you know, Peter Parker is the closest, I think, to having kind of a normal job. Like, he was like the lowliest dude at this paper who just took photographs, you know. Like, that's like the lowliest. Like, I would love to see a guy who, like, has to save the world but then go deliver pizzas in his off time, because that's what his fucking job is. You know,
that was probably some of the X-Men, aren't they? Most of them teenagers were Peter Parker. Well, Peter Parker works for the newspaper.
Yeah, he works for the newspaper. Yeah. He's a photographer.
He's like a freelance photographer. Yeah.
But there was it was in one of the Spider-Man movies, didn't he, like, deliver pizza?
Yes, I think in part two. Like, and he got fired like 20 minutes into the movie.
I
remember getting fired. I thought that was pretty funny. He was like,
You're fired again today. It's okay, Peter. We know you just have crazy problems.
Speaking of if a superhero is an accountant, apparently I think Iceman was an accountant.
He's a gay accountant. Iceman is now the gay accountant.
Or he was studying to be an accountant. I don't know if he does. I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, I believe that. Like, I'm sure if you like go and like check out all of like Marvel's characters, you probably find some interesting stories about them.
We're gonna save the world, but first we're gonna figure out what you saved in healthcare this year. Woo!
Well, I'm sure we all know the Cable, She-Hulk, and Daredevil are probably good buddies. So
yeah, because they're all lawyers, which is funny.
Team lawyer.
I'm wondering when they're gonna introduce She-Hulk to the Marvel universe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people keep asking that. Like, I haven't heard anything. There hasn't been no rumors. Just kind of like, she's kind of like, they kind of just left her to the wayside, really. You know, I know that her character is being shown in what's that show? Agents of Smash. The Hulk Agents show.
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. And she's in that one, but I haven't seen any, like, I've never seen an episode of it, so I don't even know what it's like.
Are you talking about the new cartoon that's like, there's like four or five different Hulks all on it?
Yeah, the Red Hulk, like, yeah, Skrull, it's stupid, which is, man, weird because Skrull is a stun.
Like, so I would have liked that as a kid, but as an adult, it's just like, just that's stupid.
It's too much. Like, it looks like ultra cheesy. I like, I'm not gonna mess with this, but I guess we'll see what happens. But anywho, let's move on to some gaming news here. So this one was submitted by the illustrious Dwayne Samuels about the underwhelming gay romance options in Mass Effect. Andromeda disappoints many fans. Now, if you've ever played Mass Effect, you know that there is a part in the game where you can, well, I think it's throughout the whole game, actually, where you can court your shipmates.
Yeah, it's like, not only can you court them, but you can also go do missions for them, and you can actually, they integrated something into Mass Effect, this new one, where you can actually get skills that you were not previously, had not access to, but didn't even know were there. You can get skills from your people if you go and do these quests for them. But yeah, it always gives you the option to like flirt with your crewmates, and I found that this article was kind of surprising because I almost found myself in like a homosexual situation in the game, and I was like obviously deliberately trying not to. So like, there's this Spanish guy in the game that you end up helping at one point or another, and he's like this so stereotypical Antonio Banderas like Spanish guy who's like, you know, like, anyway, the silky suave, you know, that dude, right. And he's like a special agent. Anyway, so I'm helping him out throughout the game. I'm helping him out, and it keeps giving me the option to like flirt with this guy, and obviously I'm like, no, you know, let's just keep it to the mission, you know. So we do the mission. At the end of the mission, right? I'm not going to spoil things of how you get here, but at one point you're sitting on a roof, kind of like after everything's over, you're like sitting on a roof with this guy drinking a bottle of whatever they're drinking. And like you're talking to this guy, and they have this moment where they look at each other, and it looks like some shit's about to go down, like they're about to kiss each other or something. And I'm sitting here as a straight guy like, mistakes were made, I did not choose this. But I find that odd, man, because, yeah, like from what I could tell when I was playing, you could seem to flirt with everybody. And now I do know some characters will straight tell you. I had a friend who, I had a chick friend who made a chick character, and she tried flirting with this guy named Gil, who is your pilot's like engineer. Think of him as like Scotty from Star Trek. And she tried to flirt with Gil, and Gil's like, yeah, I'm into dudes. So it's like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's kind of, I find this article a little odd, man. I think there's a fair balance. Maybe it's like that where there's only a few options and it's like, this person is gay and this person isn't gay. And if that's what everybody's complaining about, then it's like, because you can't have the one person that you want. Sounds like real life. Like, it sounds like real fucking life. It just sucks that you like somebody that's not gay. You know what I'm saying? Like, but anyway, honestly, I played the game. I think there's plenty of option there. It's all how you want to play it. There are bisexual characters on that game. There are, you know, I think they do, if anything, I was going to kind of applaud Mass Effect for being a sort of pioneer into that in video games. I mean, we don't see that type of stuff in video games too often. Transgender or homosexual relationships, anything like that. Like, this is stuff that's in real life, and we don't see that translated into video games too often. And I was, you know, I had sort of had the opposite thought. I kind of applauded Mass Effect in my head a little bit, thinking, you know, this is at least an advancement
I think it makes sense because, like, come on, you think what, gay people don't exist in the future? Like, not to you, Nate, but like to like the audience, that like the people who play these games. It's like, you know, it's a society built like the whole, because I played Mass Effect 1 and 2, and you know, you're in the future, you are congregating with a bunch of different species, and you don't think their views on sex will be different. And you know, and the thing is, Mass Effect didn't even have to do that. Like, the company didn't even have to write that in. It didn't even have to be part of their narrative, but they chose to do that to show that, because the whole story is about being human and being human among many, many other species of different kinds of aliens from around the galaxy or whatever known galaxy they were in. So it's like, when people get upset about this stuff, it's like, you know, it's kind of like, it just kind of like blows my mind. It's like, come on, appreciate what is being done here versus what is not being done in other games, you know. And representation is very important for a lot of people, because, you know, that might be, you might have a brother, a sister, a cousin, a friend, or whoever that's gay, and they want to play video games, but they're not being represented in there. So it's like, to see this, you know, that might make them feel a little bit more welcome. So it's like, you know, I mean, come on, guys. Really? You don't think this sort of, I mean, come on, Star Trek, Captain Kirk was trying to fuck everything. Really? It's reproduced in our movies, it's reproduced in our TV shows and fan fiction and comic books or whatever. It's like, come on. You know, but listen, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I don't know. you know, like I said, I haven't really played the Mass Effect games, so I'm not sure what to say on the matter, but I've seen them, and I think it's really cool that they have that option that you can, you know, you can choose to play as a man that, you know, can date other men in the game, and, you know, you can play as a woman, date other women, and or have a straight relationship.
Not even just other women, but like other female species. Just like other different species are completely.
I think,
like,
it's cool.
I'll admit it. I'm a perv, dude. If I played a chick character, I'd try to make her a lesbian. Like, I'm a perv. Why not? You know what I mean?
I play games where, you know, you can only play as, you know, a male character, and you have like a side quest where you can choose like which girl you want to date. And, you know, me being a straight woman, I'm just like, I'm just going to go with which character's personality I think is cool.
What you like, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, that's my way of seeing it. So, but I don't know. I mean, I guess I can understand, you know, like I can understand like some fans being disappointed that they don't have as many options. More like options. In this case, if the gay romance is underwhelming, like, I can understand the frustration. But there not being much choice compared to like some of the straight options.
Yeah, I mean, I can see
but
that.
But it's a start. Like, it's cool that...
Dude, okay, the way I look at it is, if you were in the Mass Effect universe, okay, there are countless other alien species around you. Like, we're human. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think it would be, like, a homosexual thing. I think it would be more a just...
Interspecies.
Yeah, like, it would be more of a, like, it probably in a lot of people's eyes, it would be like a, like, I just stay within my species. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it doesn't really... Like, to some people, it would be, like, just a unilateral bisexual thing. It's like... As long as it's human, you know what I mean? Like, I'm all down for fun, but I don't want to go interspecies, you know what I mean? Or some shit. Like, right. I guarantee you there would be people like that, you know what I mean? So,
the whole thing with the other races, I mean, I don't know, it's a little weird, but considering there's a whole community of people called furries, it's not
Oh, that was
yeah, nice. But some of these are just somebody's like, okay, so there's a character in Mass Effect in this new one called Drak, and he's the Krogan member of your crew, and he's this old and I do mean old, like in his, he's revered by a lot of other Krogan that you run into throughout the game, because this guy has been around the block. He's been in lots of battles, and he's this old guy. Like, he even has like a granddaughter in the game that he cares about and shit. And anyway, it gives you the option to flirt with him. And I was like, what?
He's like
why would anybody even want to do that? This is an old man. Like, who the fuck is gonna like be like, ooh, old man who's a crazy Krogan.
Somebody who's attracted old men. I don't know.
I guess maybe, but I mean, like, okay, I guess, man. But how many older alien homosexuals are playing Mass Effect? That's all I'm asking. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know. There's somebody out there.
I mean, I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I'm just saying, like, even if there are a group of I don't mean group. I meant like an age group of homosexual players. My guess would be it would be in the 20s to 30s, you know what I mean? And like, mm-hmm. How many of those guys are like, ooh, old man, what's up, old man? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't see it, you know what I mean?
Old like, man, old creature.
You know, like, what's up, old I don't creature? Know.
I mean,
even like as a woman, like, would you be like, hey, what's up, old man? You know what I mean? Like, if you were playing a chick character, even in a heterosexual relationship, would you be like, what's up, old man?
How you should mention that Drax looks like a tall lizard. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's a Krogan. He's a Krogan. Yeah. He's a big old like. Anyway.
No, but I said, I've known people like they just like old guy characters. So I don't know.
There's something there.
I mean, I guess I can see the complaint, like, you know, like some fans, you know, they feel like there's, you know, very few options for them, because in a game like this where you have, you know, I haven't really played Mass Effect, but do these games revolve around, like, you know, which character you can choose to get with, or is that just like a side thing?
It's like a side thing. I mean, it does kind of, because the way it is, the game is like set up is you forge relationships and trust with your with characters, so that whenever you go on missions, they would either perform better or worse depending on the relationship you form. And some of them, for some of the characters to get with most of them, you have to like either do missions for them, like Nate was saying earlier, or do something specific that will like have them be attracted to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then and some of them, no matter what you do, you're just not gonna get anywhere.
I mean, you know, because you know, in the context of this game, if the idea is like you can get with anybody of any gender, but of any species, it doesn't make sense that they say, well, this character is straight and this character is gay, so you can't get with this character. So it's like, in the context of this, they would have to make everybody bisexual, and realistically, not everybody is bisexual.
Yeah, that's what I was meaning, was that, like, it's just, if anything, it's more like real life. You can't change who somebody is.
No.
You can make an advance towards anybody you like, as long as it's a legal advance. And, you know, it's, but if it's rejected, it's rejected. You can't change, like I said, yeah. You can't change who somebody is. If somebody's, if that dude Gil is like, no, I'm sorry, I'm into dudes. You can't just be like, no, I want you to be the guy that I'm getting it on with. Fuck
right, you.
You
can't force anyone. Well,
yeah, that's why they should, yeah. I mean, like I said, it sucks if you're, you know, in my case, it sucks if I'm the character, like, happens to be a gay guy. So I'm like, damn it, that's the one.
Because he's the cute one.
It's a give and take, but yeah. I hear what you're saying, Nate. It's then like you
look
it
over
is...
in the corner. It's like the straight guy's like scratching his butt, eating some Cheetos. He's like, what's up, Lisa? How you doing? Like, why?
Why are the cute ones gay? No. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, though, Nate. It is like real life where it's like, damn it. That's not the guy I can choose. But I do think they should give, like, you know, I'm looking at this chart, and I guess if you're a gay man, you only have, like,
four
options compared to, like, if you're a straight man, you have, like...
You would think in the future you would have more options. You would think in the future, on different planets, you would have way more options as a gay person.
Like, even like, if you're...
I suppose. But then that's even contemplating that these other alien species procreate like that. You know, there could very well be alien species that they're like, what? You guys have to stick something in each other? Ugh, that is... The exchange of bodily fluids? Ugh, fuck that shit. There's got to be other alien species that are like, you know what? Let's love each other from a distance. That's how we do it on our planet. Like, we kind of just sit separate from each other and, you know. Like,
yeah, you got to wonder if, like, sexual attraction would even work because you don't know if they're the same anatomically.
Yeah, like, it's like a whole different concept. Like, even, and I think even in Star Trek, they even played around with, like, how certain... other species would like respond to humans. Like, I think like Vulcans don't at first didn't like humans because they smelled. It was like, how could you stand them? Why are you on the ship with them? Like,
well, and you know, to a Vulcan, it's like dealing with a fucking cow. I mean, like, right. we don't tell cows things because we know the cows don't understand. You know what right. I mean? Whereas it's the same sort of shit that like this crazy species that is fucking damn near all-knowing, almost all-knowing, and if not all-knowing, they're way more knowledgeable than anybody else around them. You'd have to imagine that the Vulcans meeting humans for the first time, they're like, oh my god. It's like, it would like be meeting that fucking redneck podunk dude from Louisiana who fucking, you can't even understand really what he's saying. Like, he's like got like, seriously, I've heard some Louisianians, I don't know if that's how you say it, but I've heard some people, it's almost like their own dialect, straight up. Like that real, real gutter swamp slang. And I could see it being the same thing. It's like, you know, like, who's to say, like, Mass Effect is based off the thought that other alien races still have human-esque features, a.k.a. like, two arms, two legs, two eyes, a mouth.
As I'm okay, correct, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I guess, and you know, yeah. I would expect aliens to look way different, like non-human-esque. Like, that's what makes us different. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Like I'm playing, I'm currently playing Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And, you know, in the Zelda games, there's a race of people called the Zora, which, they're kind of like fish people. And in this game, there's actually a Zora girl that actually is like, I don't know if it's a spoiler or not, if I'm spoiling anybody's gameplay. There actually is a Zora girl who was actually in love with Link, and I guess the Zoras had made, like, special armor. You know, they say, like, Zora girls, like, make special armor for, like, men they want to, like, propose to. So it's implied, like, the Zora girl made special, you know, Zora armor for Link so he can, like, swim up the waterfalls and stuff. But I'm thinking to myself, like, how does that work? They're different species. Like, how can they even be attracted to each other? Like, I don't know.
It's their spirit. They love each other's spirit. No, I don't know.
You know, in especially in, you know, the Zoras are in, like, I know in Ocarina of Time there was a Zora girl that, you know, the Zora princess, like Link in that one too, but in Majora's Mask it shows that Zoras, you know, they, you know, their children hatch out of eggs, so it all, yeah,
work. No, I mean, hey, it's definitely, we could probably even do a whole show on this topic because it has a lot of layers to just unfold.
I mean,
you know, the whole thing.
I guess what it comes down to is, like, if it looks human enough, that's it's okay.
Go for it, baby.
No. I don't know, man. I don't think I could go out. I don't think I could go. It, like, if I was real, like, even though, like, in the game, I'm not going to lie, I got it on with PB. She's like the blue-headed chick who's like the rogue. She's all science-y and shit. We got it on in a zero-g gravity escape pod. Fuck yeah. Awesome. And you know, that's pretty awesome, but I don't know, in real life, I don't know, I think it would probably scare me a little too much what was happening. Like that, like I said, that's if these aliens procreated like humans, and that's the thing, or even they have sexual relations and get the same kind of pleasurable experience out of it, and it's like, that's very possible that that's not the case at all, but anyway.
Well, I know people that thought, whatchamacallit, the chick from, you know, the Avatar, the people from the Avatar movie, the aliens were attractive.
Oh, so. The Na'vi?
Yeah, the Na'vi.
Yeah, I mean, that's also like just humans and their concepts of what we think aliens are. But you know, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect everything crazy off the wall, but yeah, like it would have just been nice in a sci-fi setting for it to be sci-fi. Like, these people don't speak English; they speak a different language, and you know, either understand or don't understand, but they have their own way of communicating with each other, and it's totally outside of human thought or comprehension. You know, I feel like that's leaning more towards reality. If there is alien life out there, it's probably shit that we just don't understand or can't fathom.
Yeah, we're still just learning.
Exactly. Anyway,
but anyway, so yeah, we're gonna bring this show to a close. We'll talk about some other things in the next episode. There are still really cool topics that I really want to talk about, but we'll catch them on the next one. You know, for now, just go to GameRoomBillion.com and you can find the main show there, the Ponder Nerdcast. So you can find most of the back episodes.
We do want to say thank you because we've seen the numbers on GR, and we have a very positive feed on GR, and even though we don't get a lot of actual feedback and comments, we do want to thank you for stopping by each week and giving us a listen. It really means a lot to us.
Yeah, we appreciate that. So, you know, we do see that. And, you know, also shout out to all the new followers on our YouTube channel and also on Twitter. You know, we see you.
We love you.
We love you for that, you know. And, you know, if you want to, you know, talk more to us, you know, you can find us in the Ponder Nerds group on Facebook. That's public. You can enter at your, you know, whenever most of us are in there. You know, check us out on Twitter. Just look for Ponder Nerdcast or Ponder Nerds and you'll find us. But, you know, you can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music Play. But, you know, like I said before, we really appreciate all the love. We really appreciate you guys listening and downloading. And, like, you know, it's really cool to see those numbers. But until next time, guys, we will see you on the next episode. Bye for now.
Later.
Bye, guys.
Three seashells.